This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Jensens Robinson, a wine writer. We're going to be talking about wine books today. How are you?
I am very well, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. You've produced quite a few books, probably the two most recent ones, your Oxford Companion.
The third edition of that Oxford Companion. That came out in 2006.
And then we've got the World Atlas of Wine you did with Hugh Johnson.
And that the sixth edition of that came out late in 2007.
That's right. The World Atlas of Wine, that was originally Hugh's...
Hugh brought out the first edition in 1971.
That was the year I was born.
Ah. And then when the time came to do the fifth edition, he sidled up to me at a party and said, I'd need some help on this. Can't face doing another one of these all by myself. How do you feel about that? And I was very flattered to be asked because I think, like most wine writers, I've had the World Atlas of Wine by my side throughout my career. Mm. But having already produced two editions of the Oxford Companion to Wine, I was under no illusions about how much work would have been involved. And also, I think perhaps the Atlas was due for a good old wash and brush up, particularly the introductory chapters and stuff like that. So I knew I wouldn't be able to resist doing a real spring clean of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But after a couple of months, I said, oh, all right then. So rose to that challenge. And so myself and my wonderful assistant, Julia Harding, MW, have been very closely involved in the fifth and now sixth editions of the World Atlas of Wine.
How does the writing process take? Because you've got the initial book you had. Is it just a case of reading through and updating the out-of-date stuff, or is it more like, where do we start?
Sometimes things have moved on so much you've just got to start again. So it'll be interesting, actually, doing this seventh edition to see how we feel about that. And sometimes you just have to drop a place that has become less important, actually. I remember with the fifth edition, I think Hugh had a whole page on the Castelli Romani, Frascati really being the wine that's produced there. And I think Hugh must have gone and just had a lovely lunch there once or something, because his writing is so brilliant. And so it's the whole page, you know, was all around what a beautiful part of the world it was. And it is, although Rome is sort of encroaching on it. But I just could, in a place where, you know, New Zealand had only a handful of pages, you just couldn't justify giving Castelli Romani and Frascati a whole page themselves. So that, for instance, was dropped from the fifth. I'd say perhaps the most crucial meetings we have are at the very beginning of a new edition, where we all sit round and decide which new pages need to be added, which new maps, what if anything has to be dropped.
Mm. The maps themselves, this is actually I used to have another wine atlas, I can't remember the name of it actually, but
there's the Sotheby's one, which and Oz does one.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. It was, but the maps on the sixth edition, just really impressed with the maps.
Oh, good. Well, they've digitized them and put a lot of money and work into them.
Yeah, you've got contours, you've got vineyards, you can see orientations. You know, you can really start to understand what's going on with the maps, which I really like. Who did your maps?
They start off with us, and we present the raw material. Obviously, Hugh did the oldest one. I mean, Hugh must have done a huge amount of work getting all those Burgundy maps, for instance, and the bare bones of the Bordeaux maps and things like that. But if it's a new region, then you start off with,
Yes,
and then you sort of superimpose what you say has to go on and things like that.
Quite a bit of work, though.
Oh, yes. And it's a completely different discipline from writing text as well. And your eye has to work in a completely different way.
One of the things about the World Wine Atlas I found quite difficult. I reviewed it. I gave it a slightly negative mark for.
Fair enough. We've sold the odd copy despite that.
Yeah, so. I'm sure it doesn't matter. Is referencing. I found it quite hard looking for particular information on a page.
Do you mean on the map or text?
No, in text. You do have stuff that's highlighted, bold.
Yeah.
But often the bit that I was looking for wasn't in bold, and there wasn't a lot of headings. It was more...
Right, fair comment. I know in the sixth edition, we have tried to put more bolding in. Mm. We can't afford to have subheadings because we're just so short of space. That just takes up too much space. If we have a two-line gap for a heading saying Omedoc or I don't know,
whatever,
Bly or something, we've lost, you know, two lines worth of words, and we fight over those words all the time. You wouldn't believe it. But I suggested that where we had a spread that was about several different places, then we put the first mention of that place in bold, mm-hmm. Wherever possible. So maybe we're just not doing that enough. But I will think of you when we're planning the 7th edition, and I'll try and do that more. And, of course, what you can do now with those... there's always been an index and a gazetteer at the back. So if you're looking up something on a map, you can find the map reference for it. But now, on my website, if you're a subscriber, you can just key in that word and it takes you straight to the map.
Oh, you've got the maps, that's right, but not the text. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're a subscriber of Purple Pages. I think we share it. I don't know if this is legal. We share it between a few of us.
That's not at all legal. In fact, if you read the terms and conditions, you'd find that you should be in prison by now. Dear.
Yeah, well, never mind. So your other book was the Oxford Companion. You started that yourself with Oxford?
Oxford have a series called The Oxford Companion 2, which started in the 1930s with English literature. And I thought it was a great compliment to wine in a way when they decided they wanted to have one to wine. Mm-hmm. And they approached me in the late 80s. And as an Oxford graduate, I was kind of thinking, yes, well, that's a nice compliment to me that they want me to do that. Yeah. But absolutely terrifying because they wanted a book that was almost a million words long, of which not a single one existed. So for 5 years, I woke up in the middle of each night thinking, how on earth am I going to fill those pages? Really? Yeah, it was 5 years solid work.
Sheesh. How long does it take to review it now?
Revise it about, well, it takes both me and Julia about 2 years. So that's 4 woman years. And we do, we
five
really,
years.
We, yes, exactly, six. But we do take our revision duties very seriously. I'm afraid it's a regrettable tendency in publishers to think, slap a new jacket on something, call it the N plus 1th edition and people will buy it. Yeah, but both Julia and I and Hugh, we're all from publishing backgrounds and we really do want to give people something that is thoroughly up to date and we can hold our heads up high and say we've gone through every single comma. So we really do that.
The Oxford Companion, quite a very, very, very...
Very detailed.
I tell you what.
Very heavy.
Keeps the door open at night.
Yes, exactly. You don't want to take it to bed with you.
Certainly not. Well, yeah, probably not, no. Why did you take on a 5-year project? Did you know it was a 5-year project?
Well, the timing wasn't bad. It was sort of just as Nick had sold his restaurant.
That's your husband, Nick.
Yeah, and we'd had the big brash, loads of money 80s, and I think, and I'd been on television, I'd been doing these 3 series of the wine programme, but I think I almost sensed that there were sort of some leaner times ahead. And I also had our last child in 91, the book came out in 94. And it was actually a very good project for staying at home and sort of slightly, you know, pulling up the drawbridge and just sitting at the desk and doing something completely different from this zooming around the world filming television series and things like that. And I think, in a way, there are all sorts of things that I'm not very good at, and I would never, ever claim to be brilliant at lots of things. But I do think it's not a bad match between me and that book. I think I sort of got the tone that it had to be and the reasonably academic, i.e. not too dull, but pretty authoritative, and the reasonably academic bent of it. And I really enjoy about The Oxford Companion is that it's multidisciplinary. So I was able to ask some of the top historians in their fields, for instance, to write essays on topics related to wine. I mean, you know, you would talk to the expert on Romans and he would history of whenever, and he would write the brilliant thing on symposia, you know. Or an archaeologist or scientists who are absolutely up to the minute with developments in particular fields, and get them to present you with that little bit of their special subject that was relevant to wine lovers. And then I was a lot of pretty heavy editing, as you can imagine, because, yeah, you know, there are hundreds of different contributors there, and yet the tone has to be consistent, more or less the same throughout. So it was a project which I, although it was terrifying, I enjoyed it as well. And, of course, for a control freak, it's brilliant, because I was in control. Freak? Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. But imagine this, putting together the Oxford Companion to Wine before email existed. And all the contributions came in on paper.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely. Had to be keyed in. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, no, that's excellent. Excellent. You've got, now that you're involved with Hugh and the Atlas, and you've got the Companion, that seems to be the two main styles of wine books, really, isn't it? You've got a very authoritative reference book, you've got a very on everything to do with wine, you've got a very authoritative on the wines themselves. Is there another style of book that we've been missing that you've itching to get out?
Well, I haven't got time. I mean, the book I want to do a completely new version of, which I really enjoyed doing, and you probably haven't even seen, was published in 1986, when you were, I hope, not drinking wine. And
no, not wine, beer.
Yes. And it was called Vines, Grapes and Wines, and it was the first book splitting up the wine world by grape variety. And it was really quite groundbreaking at the time. It sold very well in France, actually, Le Livre des Cépages, at a time when cépage was seen as a dirty word by a lot of French wine producers. And that desperately needs updating because, you know, it was written coming up for 20 years ago. And so much has changed since then. And it would be fun to do that again. But it's just so difficult to find the time, because in between updating the Atlas and the Companion and keeping, you know, my articles and my website up to date, it's very, very difficult to see how to fit another book in. I do have several thoughts for other books that I would really like to do, but it's a time thing.
Yeah. You haven't seen yourself writing any fiction-y type material?
I have no imagination, Chris, so I couldn't possibly do that. But I did enjoy writing. Somebody wanted me to write a professional memoir. It's called, in England, it's called Confessions of a Wine Lover. In America, it's called Tasting Pleasure. And it's my reminiscences of my life in wine up to its year of publication, which I think was 1997. And that was lovely, because that's a reading book as opposed to a reference book. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Because a lot of your work is reference book related, isn't it?
You're right. You've noticed.
Yeah. and reference books, you know, I like reference books, but they're not
a good read. No. Well, that's why I suppose I enjoy writing articles. I love writing about people. And, no, I would be very sad if I didn't have an outlet for slightly more discursive writing.
Mm. You've mentioned you've got an assistant who helps you out, Julia Harding. How does that relationship work? And, you know, you don't see
by email.
you don't see her name on the books either. Is she doing a lot of research?
Oh, you do. She is the assistant editor. She's down on the front page as the assistant editor of the Oxford Companion to Wine.
Uh-huh.
And she's there on the inside, the Atlas. Yeah. Julia was fantastic. She really took charge of the map side of things on the World Atlas, which was wonderful.
You said you communicate by email. How does that relationship work? Is it, you know, employee employer? Is it very much a team orientated, or is it she works for you one day a week, but she does her own things?
She's a full-time employee. She came to see me.
Genesis Robin LTD.
Yes. She came to see me about 7 years ago, saying, when she'd just got the wine bug, and she'd been a publisher's editor, saying she wanted to work for me. And I said, you've got to be joking. I'm such a control freak. I'll never have anybody working for me. And then she just sort of slowly kept going, coming and saying, you know, I really do want to work for you. No, honestly, I do want to work for you. And then when she came top, she passed the Master of Wine exams first go and came top, I said, oh, all right then, you can work for me.
Excellent.
And she's brilliant. She's very, very good and extremely conscientious and talented, speaks perfect French and German, tastes very similarly to me anyway, and is a real details person. So it's great. I'm very lucky.
Okay then, Genesis. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Great.